This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Now, I was faced with a bit of a dilemma with this program this week, because I've been spending a lot of time over the last few days helping out a group called Rainbows Over Margaret Court Arena. This is in response to Margaret Court's homophobic remarks, rooted in her rather odd version of Christianity. So before we start on this next segment, I should issue the disclaimer that when I'm speaking on this issue, I'm speaking purely for myself, not for the radio station. You know, so think of me as having a different hat on for the next few minutes. But I couldn't let it go by, and I couldn't ignore that particular elephant in the room, because I have been talking to practically every radio station and more than a couple of TV stations in this country and overseas over the last 2 days, and most of you will have at least heard one or two of them. But I can hardly interview myself, so joining me now is the administrator of that Facebook page, Ivan Hinton. Good evening, Ivan.
Good evening. How are you going?
Well, as you know, going pretty well. Before we start the conversation, a couple of SMSs come in. I don't know if you know that Bernie Finn, a very conservative politician here, has been calling us rainbow fascists for what we've been saying about Margaret Court. Jade has messaged in to say, I hope you were as outraged at being called a rainbow fascist as I was, simply because we support human rights and equality even at the tennis. And another message here saying, great to see you handle the shock jock so eloquently, Doug. Great also to see that HomeCom has left a station like that. Well done. Ivan, where did this all start? Tell people how this all began.
Right. Well, I'd just like to apologize to your listeners first, because I'm not a public speaker and I'm not a regular activist. I did attend the December 3 rally in Sydney with my parents, but I suppose that's as radical as I've gotten to date.
This issue has actually radicalized you, effectively.
it has, because we suddenly discovered a forum, a simple Facebook page, that I decided to like. I liked it when I think there was 100-something members, and that was less than, I think that was 9 days ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it's eight, nine days ago. I think there were about 80 members, and we're at, what, tonight, about 1,800, 1,900?
Just before I got on the phone, we had 1,844.
Wow.
So that's pretty good going in such a very short time. This is obviously an issue that is getting under everybody's skin one way or another.
Yeah, when you consider the breakup, I had a quick squeeze at the demographics. Now, this particular page has hit 20 countries already. 63% of the population on the page is Australian, and the next highest percentage is actually the US with only 16%. So the rest of it is spread out between 18 other countries.
What's the age demographic looking like? Can you see that from the demographics on the page?
Well, I'm really pleased you asked me that question instead of anything else, because all I'm operating on is a few dot point notes, which I was recommended to do. the important thing to me for this movement is acknowledging that the damage that statements like what Margaret Court has said can wreak upon the community, and particularly a younger demographic, a demographic that doesn't typically have a voice, particularly in politics and in general terms. And at the moment, our demographic of people who like our page, just under 20%, are under the age of 24. Now, I think this is really critical, because this particular demographic is, as I expect you'd know, much more susceptible to depression, and suicidal tendencies.
Indeed.
And it's the comments that are made by figureheads like Margaret Court that can cause the greatest amount of damage to this particular demographic. 55% of the amount of likes that we have are between the age of 25 and 44. And I didn't go any further than that.
No, that's pretty good. I was mostly interested in the young people, because Stuart,
absolutely.
I mean, Stuart, you obviously see a lot of young people turning up at your church, do you not? Looking for guidance.
A cross section of people, and I think that it's a good point you make.
Ivan, and about this, that a lot of these statements that are made by church leaders or so, para-church leaders such as Margaret Court do a lot of damage and damage the growing sense of your personhood and things like that. But I think that even if it's not young people, there are people who are still coming to their terms with their sexuality throughout the age spectrum, and you can often, what they do is then reinforce those negative things which they're seeking to overcome as you get older as well. And so you still go through those cycles. Mm.
And I think someone like Margaret Court, and this is the reason I got involved in this, just remember I'm wearing my personal hat here, not my joy hat.
It's very fetching, Dan.
the main reason I got involved is that we know that this kind of thing damages kids because they look up to sporting heroes. And let's face it, Margaret Court's a sporting hero, whether we like it or not. One of the things we've been very careful to say on the page is that we do not support removing her name from the arena because that's in recognition of her tennis achievements and nobody can take that away from her. So you can rest easy, Margaret, we're not coming to take your silverware off you.
On that, Doug, though, I mean, even if you look at the comments on the actual Facebook page, you know, there's one that just pops out at me from Jules Woodley that says, Margaret Court was a massive inspiration for me when I was younger. I can't express how much her latest comments have deflated and saddened me. I'm marrying my partner in March. We plan to have kids. I'm sad they can't look after her as I did. And so that's exactly what this is about.
Mm-hmm. On another note, I've just got a message here from James Newbury up in Queensland, who says the petition on change.org to rename Margaret Court Arena now has 990 signatures. So not everybody agrees with us on that one.
Yeah.
Ivan, a lot of people have said, why at the tennis? Why at the tennis?
Well, it's basically been given to us by Margaret and by the timing. Margaret made her statements most recently in the West Australian, saying that we're an abomination, that we're unnatural and unhealthy, and that we should basically remain behind closed doors and not participate fully in society. And on the back of that, there's the Australian Open, which is at Margaret Court. And for me personally, I bought my tickets to go to the last week of the tennis months ago, and I had been unabashedly excited about going and watching the tennis. So a bit of a tennis tragic, and my partner, who's my husband, married in Canada in 2008. He's even worse than I am, a massive tennis aficionado.
Okay, on another note, just for a moment there, going back to a topic we were talking about before you came on air, you can rest assured you are still married in Canada.
Can't get divorced.
On the same day that broke, I was making everyone try and rest easy and stop panicking me, and panicking my mum. My mum's listening, by the way, so I got her dialed up on the radio.
Hi, Mum.
and Dad, of course. But in relation to why the tennis, it was a very easy venue where people were already attending, and suddenly people felt offended by the sentiments that were said. And while she may be free to make her statement, there's also the opportunity in our community to respond. And so what the page is encouraging people to do is respond in a restrained, in a peaceful, in a respectful, colourful manner. So it's a simple statement to say, Margaret, we are here. We object to what you're saying. We object to the impact, the negative impact that you are choosing to cause on our young people. And we won't be silent on the matter. We may be colourful and silent, but you know, technically we're not silent.
No. Well, I'm... That didn't go down very well when I spoke to shock jock Neil Mitchell. His producer came on after I did the segment and said, don't come back here talking sense another time.
Yeah, I heard that. He was quite stuck on the word protest. He was quite stuck on the idea that
he was trying to beat it up. Now, that's something we've had a bit of a problem with, isn't it? Because it's all started, really took off when the Herald Sun, put a piece out on the morning after the carnival where they interviewed me. And they sort of made it sound like there was going to be some kind of mass, what do they call it, an inundation of rainbows.
I believe we're going to be storming the court.
Storming the court, yes, they're going to be inundated with rainbows. Very emotive language.
I suppose that's what fascists do.
And well, it worked. It worked because it got the whole world's media fired up, you know.
I suppose we could be grateful.
So in that sense, we could be grateful. You know, I ended up doing interviews with the British, the BBC World Service and National Public Radio in America, as well as radio stations all around Australia on this issue, basically hosing down the expectations that the Herald Sun article had pushed up. But do you think that's could work against the whole idea now, because nothing's happened, the media's kind of lost interest?
I think the problem with that form of reporting is the incendiary nature of it. The reinforcing an us and them paranoia, when all we were trying to do is gather a group of peaceful people who are planning on going to the tennis or were mildly interested in attending the tennis, and expressing themselves in a peaceful, calm, and compassionate way. So I think what it did do, if you read the comments after the article, it's astonishing what it stirred up, and specifically on that webpage. If you look at the comments following articles, for example, in The Age, they're incredibly balanced and quite supportive. I actually heard there was a couple of comments on our page actually saying that people's posts weren't even being submitted, weren't being published on the Herald Sun's page, and you've got to ask yourself, well, what's the motivation here? I think it's detrimental to our community.
Well, it's manipulation of the news. It's a Murdoch absolutely. Paper. What do we expect?
well, see, the thing is, I'm not politically savvy. I don't even understand what you're talking about.
There goes my chance of a job with the Murdoch organisation.
It's a really awful way in which they represented the facts, or misrepresented, as the case may be. So it was really unfortunate. I was really disappointed with that. But I think with the work that we're doing and with the general support that we're getting, I think people are going to feel very comfortable going to the tennis over the next 2 weeks. As we're going to be built up with, as you know, obviously, we really weren't even, activated until about 4 days ago.
No, because we had no idea it was going to explode like this. It was just a Facebook page, you know, and away it's gone. And we fortuitous timing and everything else. A couple of messages coming in from listeners here taking rather opposite points of view. Jenny says she's from another generation and she's old. This is a lot of pressure to focus on one person. Listening to a lot of the ABC listeners, they came to the conclusion that the lobby groups may have gone too far in this instance. For some, politics and sport may not always mix. Focus on the coalition and move on. Well, we'll move on at the end of the Open, I think. this is too good a 2 weeks to miss.
But in relation to that, I think it's really important to remember that it's not so much Margaret, and that's one of the reasons why we're being very careful and gentle about the way in which, on the page, we do target her. It's more about it's about Margaret, and it's about people like Margaret. It's about people who are willfully ignorant to the negative consequences that they are having on children while they're proclaiming that they're defending family and they're defending. Well, marriage, but that's another issue.
Yeah, I think people need to remember, and something you and I need to remember as well, that when we open our mouths and we talk into these microphones or we write something in a paper, words have an enormous amount of power. And when you start talking to young people who are, you know, just coming to terms with their sexuality or just learning what their sexuality might be, and you're telling them that they are, well, the Pope's word was intrinsically disordered. Margaret Court said unnatural, abominable, various words like that. You know, you're going to play into their mental state, and kids are fragile mentally quite often. You know, their brains are still forming. They're still not quite sure who and what they are. And to have someone who has such an enormous iconic status in sport, and Lord knows we love our sporting heroes in this country, to come out and basically tell you you're pretty well worthless, unless you come rushing along to my church and, you know, buy my videos and whatever else you have to do to get saved by Margaret Court. You know, that's a foul thing to do, really. It's dangerous. Stuart.
But that's the other side of this is it's not about the person's great achievements in tennis, but about what the person has been doing since the at least 20 years in the role in that church, which is putting a particular conservative form of Christianity, which does create very negative images and influences on young people and on older people. Well, but think of the parents who are being influenced by this, who then take out
influencing their children.
So it's this ripple effect, which is so damaging. And we mustn't be too put off by some of the overreactions that come. And so, yes, we say Margaret Court was a wonderful tennis player. She can, you know, it's extraordinary achievements. But it's the issues and the perspective that she's putting, which is so awful.
Well, you mentioned about the damage it does to people. There's another programme on Joy later on tonight called Salt and Pepper, which is on at 11pm with Serena Ryan and Pete Dillon. And their special guest tonight is John Rutten. He used to be a member of the Margaret Court Ministry, and he is a gay man who has escaped the Margaret Court Ministry. You can hear his story on Joy tonight at 11 o'clock on Salt and Pepper with Serena Ryan and Pete Dillon. So more on that story coming up later. We're just going to take a little break now, and we'll be back in just a moment.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.